The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hello, this is Margaret Dixon on Page Turners at WTBR-FM 89.7. Today we are going to be continuing with The Gods of Pagana in the sequel to The Gods of Pagana, Time and the Gods. Today we're going to be starting with The Vengeance of Men. Ere the beginning, the gods divided earth into waste and pasture. Pleasant pastures they made to be green over the face of earth. Orchards they made in valleys and heather upon hills. But Harza they doomed, predestined and foreordained, to be a waste forever. When the world prayed at evening to the gods and the gods answered prayers, they forgot the prayers of all the tribes of Arim. Therefore, the men of Arim were assailed with wars and driven from land to land, and yet would not be crushed. And the men of Arim made them gods for themselves, appointing men as gods until the gods of Pagana should remember them again. And their leaders, Yoth and Haneth, played the part of gods and led their people on, though every tribe assailed them. At last they came to Harza, where no tribes were, and at last had rest from war. And Yoth and Haneth said, "The work is done, and surely now Pagana's gods will remember." And they built a city in Harza and tilled the soil, and the green came over the waste as the wind comes over the sea. And there were fruit and cattle in Harza, and the sounds of a million sheep. There they rested from their flight from all the tribes, and builded fables out of all their sorrows, till all men smiled in Harza, and children laughed. Then said the gods, "Earth is no place for laughter." Thereat they strode to Pagana's outer gate, to where the pestilence lay curled asleep, and waking him up, they pointed towards Harza. And the pestilence leapt forward, howling across the sky. That night he came to the fields near Harza, and stalking through the grass, sat down and glared at the lights, and licked his paws and glared at the lights again. But the next night, unseen, through laughing crowds, the pestilence crept into the city, and stealing into the houses one by one, peered into the people's eyes, looking even through their eyelids, so that when morning came, men stare before them, crying out that they saw the pestilence whom others saw not, and thereafter died, because the green eyes of the pestilence had looked into their souls. Chill and damp was he, yet there came heat from his eyes that parched the souls of men. Then came the physicians and the men learned in magic, and made the sign of the physicians and the sign of the men of magic, and cast blue water upon herbs and chanted spells. But still the pestilence crept from house to house, and still he looked into the souls of men. And the lives of the people streamed away from Harza, and whither they went is set in many books. But the pestilence fed on the light that shines in the eyes of men, which never appeased his hunger. Chiller and damper he grew, and the heat from his eyes increased when night by night he galloped through the city, going by stealth no more. Then did men pray in Harza to the gods, saying, "High gods, show clemency to Harza." And the gods listened to their prayers, but as they listened, they pointed with their fingers and cheered the pestilence on. And the pestilence grew bolder at his master's voices and thrust his face close up before the eyes of men. He could be seen by none saving those he smote. At first he slept by day, lying in misty hollows, but as his hunger increased, he sprang up even in sunlight and clung to the chests of men and looked down through their eyes into their souls that shriveled, until almost he could be dimly seen even by those he smote not. Adro, the physician, sat in his chamber with one light burning, making a mixing in a bowl that should drive the pestilence away, when through his door there blew a draught that set the light a-flickering. Then, because the draught was cold, the physician shivered and went and closed the door. But as he turned again, he saw the pestilence lapping at his mixing, who sprang and set one paw upon Adro's shoulder and another upon his cloak, while with two he clung to his waist and looked him in the eyes. Two men were walking in the street. One said to the other, "Upon the morrow I will sup with thee." And the pestilence grinned a grin that none beheld, baring his dripping teeth, and crept away to see whether upon the morrow those men should sup together. A traveller coming in said, "This is Harza. Here will I rest." But his life went further than Harza upon that day's journey. All feared the pestilence, and those that he smote beheld him, but none saw the great shapes of the gods by starlight as they urged their pestilence on. Then all men fled from Harza, and the pestilence chased dogs and rats and sprang upward at the bats as they sailed above him, who died and lay in the streets. But soon he returned and pursued the men of Harza where they fled, and sat by rivers where they came to drink, away below the city. Then back to Harza went the people of Harza, pursued by the pestilence still, and gathered in the temple of all the gods save one, and said to the high prophet, "What may now be done?" Who answered, "All the gods have mocked at prayer. This sin must now be punished by the vengeance of men." And the people stood in awe. The high prophet went up to the tower beneath the sky, whereupon beat the eyes of all the gods by starlight. There, in the sight of the gods, he spake in the ear of the gods, saying, "High gods, ye have made mock of men. Know therefore that it is writ in ancient lore and found by prophecy that there is an end that waiteth for the gods, who shall go down from Pagana in galleons of gold all down the silent river and into the silent sea, and there their galleons shall go up in mist, and they shall be gods no more. And men shall gain harbor from the mocking of the gods at last in the warm, moist earth. But to the gods shall no ceasing ever come from being the things that were the gods. When time and worlds and death are gone away, naught shall then remain but worn regrets and things that were once gods." In the sight of the gods, in the ear of the gods. Then the gods shouted all together and pointed with their hands at the high prophet's throat, and the pestilence sprang. Long since the high prophet is dead and his words are forgotten by men, but the gods know not yet whether it be true that the end is waiting for the gods, and him who might have told them they have slain. And the gods of Pagana are fearing the fear that hath fallen upon the gods because of the vengeance of men, for they know not when the end shall be, or whether it shall come. Well, if you ever somehow become a god, take that as a lesson to just not be a jerk to your subjects. That's all it takes. All right, so we're going to hear more of the adventures of the gods, but first, a message from our sponsor.
Whoa, like, what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here. With locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
The Berkshire Mobile Farmers Market returns this summer. Our mission is to support local farms by bringing their fresh food to communities across Berkshire County. We sell seasonal produce, eggs, meat, cheese, bread, and more. Plus, we offer a sliding scale payment system. We'll be in Adams, North Adams, Beckett, Monterey, and two Pittsfield locations from June through October. Find out more at BerkshireMobileFarmersMarket.org.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281-4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And we're back. For those just tuning in, this is Margaret Dixon on Page Turners reading Time and the Gods by Lord Dunsany. This next story is called When the Gods Slept. All the gods were sitting in Pagana, and their slave, Time, lay idle at Pagana's gate, with nothing to destroy, when they thought of worlds, worlds large and round and gleaming, and little silver moons. Then, who knoweth when, as the gods raised their hands, making the sign of the gods, the thoughts of the gods became worlds and silver moons, and the worlds swam by Pagana's gate to take their places in the sky, to ride at anchor forever, each where the gods had bidden. And because they were round and big and gleamed all over the sky, the gods laughed and shouted and all clapped their hands. Then upon earth the gods played out the game of the gods, the game of life and death, and on the other worlds they did a secret thing, playing a game that is hidden. At last they mocked no more at life and laughed at death no more, and cried aloud in Pagana, "Will no new thing be? Must those four march forever round the world till our eyes are wearied with the treading of the feet of the seasons that will not cease, while night and day and life and death drearily rise and fall?" And as a child stares at the bare walls of a narrow hut, so the gods looked all listlessly upon the world, saying, "Will no new thing be?" And in their weariness the gods said, "Ah, to be young again! Ah, to be fresh once more from the brain of Manayud Sushai!" And they turned away their eyes in weariness from all the gleaming worlds, and laid them down upon Pagana's floor, for they said, "It may be that the world shall pass, and we would fain forget them." Then the gods slept. Then did the comet break loose from his moorings, and the eclipse roamed about the sky, and down on the earth did death's three children, famine, pestilence, and drought, come out to feed. The eyes of the famine were green, and the eyes of the drought were red, but the pestilence was blind, and smote about all round him with his claws among the cities. But as the gods slept, there came from beyond the rim, out of the dark and the unknown, three Yozis, spirits of ill, that sailed up the river of silence in galleons with silver sails, Far away they had seen Yum and Gothum, the stars that stand sentinel over Pagana's gate, blinking and falling asleep. And as they neared Pagana, they found a hush wherein the gods slept heavily. Ya, Ha, and Sneerg were these three Yozis, the lords of evil, madness, and of spite. When they crept from their galleons and stole over Pagana's silent threshold, it boded ill for the gods. There in Pagana lay the gods asleep, and in a corner lay the power of the gods alone upon the floor, a thing wrought of black rock, and four words graven upon it, whereof I might not give thee any clue, if even I should find it. Four words of which none knoweth. Some say they tell of the opening of a flower towards dawn, and others say they concern earthquakes among hills, and others that they tell of the death of fishes, and others that these words be these. Power, knowledge, forgetting, and another word that not the gods themselves may ever guess. These words the Yozis read, and sped away in dread lest the gods should wake, and going aboard their galleons bade the rowers haste. Thus the Yozis became gods, having the power of gods, and they sailed away to the earth, and came to a mountainous island in the sea. There they sat upon the rocks, sitting as the gods sit, with their right hands uplifted, and having the power of gods, only none came to worship. Thither came no ships nigh them, nor ever at evening came the prayers of men, nor smell of incense, nor screams from the sacrifice. Then said the Yozis, "Of what avails it that we be gods, if no one worship us, nor give us sacrifice?" And Ya, Ha, and Sneerg set sail in their silver galleons, and went looming down the sea to come to the shores of men. And first they came to an island where there were fisherfolk, and the folk of the island, running down to the shore, cried out to them, "Who be ye?" And the Yozis answered, "We be three gods, and we would have your worship." But the fisherfolk answered, "Here we worship Ram, the thunder, and have no worship nor sacrifice for other gods." Then the Yozi snarled with anger and sailed away, and sailed till they came to another shore, sandy and low and forsaken. And at last they found an old man upon the shore, and they cried out to him, "Old man upon the shore, we be three gods that it were well to worship, gods of great power and apt in the granting of prayer." The old man answered, "We worship Pagana's gods, who have a fondness for our incense and the sound of our sacrifice when it squeals upon the altar." Then answered Sneerg, "Asleep are Pagana's gods, nor will they wake for the humming of thy prayers, which lie in the dust upon Pagana's floor. And over them Sneerakte, the spider of the worlds, hath woven a web of mist. And the squealing of the sacrifice maketh no music in ears that are closed in sleep." The old man answered, standing upon the shore, "Though all the gods of old shall answer our prayers no longer, yet still to the gods of old shall all men pray here in Cyrenai." But the Yozis turned their ships about and angrily sailed away, all cursing Cyrenai and Cyrenai's gods, but most especially the old man that stood upon the shore. Still the three Yozis lusted for the worship of men, and came, on the third night of their sailing, to a city's lights, and nearing the shore they found a city of song wherein all folks rejoiced. Then sat each Yozi on his galleon's prow, and leered with his eyes upon the city, so that the music stopped and the dancing ceased, and all looked out to see at the strange shapes of the Yozis beneath their silver sails. Then Sneerg demanded their worship, promising increase of joys and swearing by the light of his eyes that he would send little flames to leap over the grass to pursue the enemies of that city and to chase them about the world. But the people answered that in that city men worshipped Agrodaun, the mountain standing alone, and might not worship other gods even though they came in galleons with silver sails sailing from over the sea. But Sneerg answered, Certainly, Agrodaun is only a mountain and no man or a god. But the priests of Agrodaun sain answer from the shore. If the sacrifice of men make not Agrodaun a god, nor blood still young on his rocks, nor the little fluttering prayers of 10,000 hearts, nor 2,000 years of worship, and all the hopes of the people and the whole strength of our race, then are there no gods, and ye be common sailors, sailing from over the sea. Then said the Yozis, Hath Agrodaun answered prayer? And the people heard the words that the Yozis said. Then went the priests of Agrodaun away from the shore and up the steep streets of the city, the people following, and over the moor beyond it, to the foot of Agrodaun, and then said, Agrodaun, if thou art not our god, go back and herd with yonder common hills, and put a cap of snow upon thy head, and crouch far off as they do beneath the sky. But if we have given thee divinity in 2,000 years, if our hopes are all about thee like a cloak, then stand and look upon thy worshippers from over our city forever. And the smoke that ascended from his feet stood still, and there fell a hush over great Agrodaun. And the priests went back to the sea and said to the three Yozis, New god shall have our worship when Agrodaun grows weary of being our god, or when in some night time he shall stride away, leaving us not to gaze at that is higher than our city. And the Yozis sailed away and cursed towards Agrodaun, but could not hurt him, for he was but a mountain. And the Yozis sailed along the coast till they came to a river running to the sea, and they sailed up the river till they came to a people at work, who furrowed the soil and sowed, and strove against the forest. Then the Yozis called to the people as they worked in the fields, Give us your worship, and ye shall have many joys. But the people answered, We may not worship you. Then answered Sneerg, Ye also, have ye God? And the people answered, We worship the years to come, and we set the world in order for their coming, as one layeth raiment on the row before the advent of a king. And when those years shall come, they shall accept the worship of a race they knew not, and their people shall make their sacrifice to the years that follow them, who, in their turn, shall minister to the end. Then answered Sneerg, Gods that shall recompense you not, rather give us your prayers and have our pleasures, the pleasures that we shall give you, and when your gods shall come, let them be wroth, they cannot punish you. But the people continued to sacrifice their labor to their gods, the years to come, making the world a place for gods to dwell in, and the Yozis cursed those gods and sailed away. And Yah, the Lord of Malice, swore that when those years should come, they should see whether it were well for them to have snatched away the worship from three Yozis. And still the Yozis sailed, for they said, It were better to be birds and have no air to fly in, than to be gods having neither prayers nor worship. But where sky met with ocean, the Yozis saw land again, and thither sailed, and there the Yozis saw men in strange old garments performing ancient rites in a land of many temples. And the Yozis called to the men as they performed their ancient rites and said, We be three gods well versed in the needs of men, to worship whom were to obtain instant joy. But the men said, We have already gods. And Sneer replied, Ye too? The men answered, For we worship the things that have been and all the years that were. Divinely have they helped us. Therefore we give them worship that is their due. And the Yozis answered the people, We be gods of the present and return good things for worship. But the people answered, saying from the shore, Our gods have given us already the good things, and we return them the worship that is their due. And the Yozis set their faces to landward and cursed all things that had been and all the years that were and sailed in their galleons away. A rocky shore in an inhuman land stood up against the sea. Thither the Yozis came and found no man, but out of the dark from inland, towards evening, came a herd of great baboons, and chattered greatly when they saw the ships. Then spake Sneerg to them, "Have ye too a god?" And the baboons spat. Then said the Yozis, "We be seductive gods, having a particular remembrance for little prayers." But the baboons leered fiercely at the Yozis, and would have none of them for gods. One said that prayers hindered the eating of nuts. But Sneerg leaned forward and whispered, and the baboons went down upon their knees and clasped their hands as men clasp, and chattered prayer and said to one another that these were the gods of old, and gave the Yozis their worship. For Sneerg had whispered in their ears that, if they would worship the Yozis, he would make them men. And the baboons arose from worshipping, smoother about the face and a little shorter in the arms, and went away and hid their bodies in clothing, and afterwards galloped away from the rocky shore and went and herded with men. And men could not discern what they were, for their bodies were bodies of men, though their souls were still the souls of beasts, and their worship went to the Yozis, spirits of ill. And the lords of malice, hatred, and madness sailed back to their island in the sea, and sat upon the shore as gods sit, with right hand uplifted, and at evening foul prayers from the baboons gathered about them and infested the rocks. But in Pagana, the gods awoke with a start. Well, that probably didn't end well, but it's the end of that story, so we don't know for sure. And I think we have one more today. This one is called The King That Was Not. The land of Runazar hath no king, nor ever had one. And this is the law of the land of Runazar, seeing that it hath never had a king, it shall not ever have one forever. Therefore in Runazar the priests hold sway, who tell people that never in Runazar hath there been a king. Althazar, king of Runazar, and lord of all lands nearby, commanded for the closer knowledge of the gods that their images should be carven in Runazar, and in all lands nearby. And when Althazar's command, wafted abroad by trumpets, came tinkling in the ear of all the gods, right glad were they at the sound of it. Therefore men quarried marble from the earth, and sculptors busied themselves in Runazar to obey the edict of the king. But the gods stood by starlight on the hills where the sculptors might see them, and draped the clouds about them, and put upon them their divinest air, that sculptors might do justice to Pagana's gods. Then the gods strode back into Pagana, and the sculptors hammered and wrought. And there came a day when the master of sculptors took audience of the king, saying, "Althazar, king of Runazar, high lord moreover of all the lands nearby, to whom be the gods benignant. Humbly have we completed the images of all such gods as were in thine edict named." Then the king commanded a great space to be cleared among the houses in his city, and there were assembled the master of sculptors and all his men, and before each stood a soldier bearing a pile of gold upon a jeweled tray, and behind each stood a soldier with a drawn sword pointing against their necks. And the king looked upon the images, and lo, they stood as gods with the clouds all draped about them, making the sign of the gods. But their bodies were those of men, and lo, their faces were very like the king's, and their beards were as the king's beard. And the king said, "These be indeed Pagana's gods." And the soldiers that stood before the sculptors were caused to present to them the piles of gold, and the soldiers that stood behind the sculptors were caused to sheath their swords. And the people shouted, "These be indeed Pagana's gods, whose faces we are permitted to see by the will of Althazar the king, to whom be the gods benignant." And heralds were sent abroad through the cities of Runazar, of all the lands nearby, proclaiming of the images, "These be Pagana's gods." But up in Pagana, the gods howled with wrath, and Mung leant forward to make the sign of Mung against Althazar the king. But the gods laid their hands upon his shoulder, saying, Slay him not, for it is not enough that Althazar shall die, who hath made the faces of the gods to be like the faces of men. But he must not even have ever been. Then said the gods, Spake we of Althazar a king? And the gods said, Nay, we spake not. And the gods said, Dreamed we of one Althazar? And the gods said, Nay, we dreamed not. But in the royal palace of Runazar, Althazar, passing suddenly out of the remembrance of the gods, became no longer a thing that was or had ever been. And by the throne of Althazar lay a robe, and near it lay a crown. And the priests of the gods entered his palace and made it a temple of the gods. And the people coming to worship said, Whose was this robe, and to what purpose is this crown? And the priests answered, The gods have cast away the fragment of a garment, and lo, from the fingers of the gods hath slipped one little ring. And the people said to the priests, Seeing that Runazar hath never had a king, therefore be ye our rulers, and make ye our laws in the sight of Pagana's gods. Yikes. So, once again, don't mess with the gods, or they will literally erase you from existence. Well, with that cheerful ending, I think it's time to stop for now. I will continue to read more of Time and the Gods next time on Page Turners. This is Margaret Dixon. And once again, I greatly enjoyed reading to you. I hope you enjoyed listening, as always.